You may be seated as we now invite the baptismal party forward. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. How is the child named? Reagan Joe Ambrose, receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one who is redeemed by Christ crucified. To the sponsors. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve Reagan as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, answer yes with the help of God. God enable you to will and to do this faithful and loving work with his grace fulfilled that which we are unable to do. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And now, Reagan Joe, the Lord preserve your coming in and going forth from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask a series of questions. It is traditional for the sponsors to respond. However, I always say, in the remembrance of our own baptism, I actually like the congregation to respond as well. So, with that being said, Reagan, Joe, do you renounce the devil? If so, answer, yes, I renounce him. Yes, I renounce him. Do you renounce all his works? If so, answer, yes, I renounce them. Yes, I renounce them. Do you renounce all his ways? If so, answer, yes, I renounce them. Yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, answer, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, answer, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, answer, yes, I believe. Yes, yes I believe. Right. Reagan Joe Ambrose, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you this new birth of water and spirit and has forgiven you all of your sins, strengthen you in grace everlasting. Amen. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray. In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven and the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear his word and receive his gifts and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Almighty and most merciful God, Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Reagan Ambrose the new birth of holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life, to praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, peace be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us welcome in our newest member, Reagan Jo Ambrose. Please stand as we join in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their callings as your children through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we now continue with our readings.
Our Old Testament reading for today is taken from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says the God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Here ends the reading. Our epistle reading for today is taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here ends the reading. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the baptism of our Lord Sunday, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is manifested in Jesus' holy baptism. It's found in the book of St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the reading of the gospel. Please be seated as we sing "At Your Name."
Shout your name, oh, oh, oh.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 2012, the FCC passed an act called the CALM Act. The CALM Act, as its core, basically meant, it was an acronym, meant all these big fancy words that I don't know. But it basically meant this. The commercials that air in between your TV shows and your movies need to be at the same volume as the TV shows or the movies. They can't be louder. The FCC in recent years has actually admitted openly that they have not been monitoring this or regulating this as well as they should. My guess is that some of you that are nodding your head know exactly what I'm talking about and have experienced it in one way or another. All of a sudden the commercial comes on and gets really super loud and you're like, what's going on here? I believe this actually has at least a little bit to do in a conceptual way as we talk about our text for this morning. Kind of like that in New Year's resolutions. But I'll get to that here in a second. Today we're talking about the text of the baptism of Jesus. Jesus going to the Jordan to be baptized. And there's a lot of things that we can talk about. This text is loaded. It's got so much to talk about that we could spend all day just talking about this text. I mean, even when we talk about the difference of baptism, right? When you were baptized, when I was baptized, we were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus who commissioned that baptism. Yet, it's Jesus now that is in the Jordan River being baptized. Our baptism is a removal of sin. It's also a new creation, new life. Yet, this is a baptism of repentance. So what's it all about? How are we going to talk about it? And how can we fit all of those things? Well, we can't fit all of those things. And so I really wanted to focus today on one particular point that we're going to talk about. And it's going to be, I'm going to call this point consecration. Now, we don't talk about the word consecration that much. The word consecration just means to set aside for a holy purpose. That's what it means. So when we talk about how we've consecrated something, or we're in the midst of consecration, what we're talking about is we are setting something aside for a holy purpose. So that's not quite what's going on right here. Jesus is holy. He is God. And he is God before the baptism, and he is God after the baptism. So we can't say that Jesus has been set aside for a holy purpose. Jesus is God. However, this baptism marks this time when Jesus is telling everyone, this is what I'm going to do. He's beginning his ministry. In fact, right after this text, Jesus is going to be taken into the wilderness and he's going to be tempted by Satan. This is the beginning of his ministry as he sets out on his task, his mission, his priority to go forth and to basically proclaim the kingdom of God and to go to the cross where he will die and rise again on the third day. This is Jesus' mission. This is his task. This is what he is setting out to do. And it all starts here in the Jordan River with John the Baptist, with Jesus being baptized. And we see how Jesus does it. He sets his priorities. His priorities are straight. He is going to do what he is coming to do. There's people that are going to try to get in the way. There's going to be Satan, which is going to try to tempt him. And none of it works. None of it works. It's always straightforward. Jesus is doing what he came to do from the very beginning, from the very beginning of all creation, what's already been set up and established to do. Jesus is going to do it. How are you doing with your priorities? Jesus has his priorities straight, but how are you and I doing? Are our priorities still in place? Are they still working, or are they not? Or have they been misplaced and dragged down? Because you see, this is what the loud commercials are all about. You see, some ad agency some time ago realized that what most people do in the midst of a commercial break is they start talking, or they start interacting with one another, or they go into the kitchen to do something, and they realize that if they were just loud enough, they can distract you from what you want to do to focus instead on what they want you to focus on, their product. And their job is to sell things, so that's what they're after. And so to sell, they make sure they're a little bit louder so that it distracts you and so that you get lured into this commercial, whatever it happens to be, whether it's a new car or a new toaster, depending on whatever it happens to be, it lures you in. And I find that that kind of disjointed priorities is kind of one of the things that we deal with, right? Same thing with New Year's resolutions, right? I'm going to work out this year. I'm going to do it. Well, tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. You know, it's cold and the roads are too icy. I can't do it. We always have excuses of why we can't do those things. We set these priorities. We say, this is good for us. And then all of a sudden, something comes up and we're saying, oh, we can't do that. Sometimes it's real immediate like that, isn't it? We just come up with excuses right off the bat. Other times, things happen and it's a little bit more subtle. You know, we say, I'm going to go to church more. But then there's that one event, and we say, well, just this one time, I'm just going to skip, just this one time. And then another event, and another event, and then another event. Before you know it, the exception is going to church, and the rule is to avoid to go to the other things. Or maybe it's not that, or maybe it's just reading Scripture, right? We want to read Scripture, and we say we're going to do it, but then it just takes too much time, or we got this problem, or we got that problem we've got to deal with. And all of a sudden, reading Scripture becomes something that goes on the back burner. Or maybe our family feels really disconnected, and we never spend time with our family. But we always have excuses about why we can't do it. A study done not too terribly long ago actually showed that people procrastinate on the things that are most important to them. And I know that seems odd, but the truth is that it's really easy for us to do mindless tasks. It's really easy for us to do things that are just mechanical, that don't take any thought, that don't take any of our heart or any of our spirit, that don't take any of that. It's really hard whenever you're trying to do something that is engaging all of you. It's easy to do a repetitive task. It's hard to sit down and really truly dwell and meditate on God's holy word and to think about how all that is and what it all means. So do you have your priorities straight? Jesus does. And he's starting his mission. He's baptized. He's heading toward the cross. That's where he's going. And that's what the rest of this year we're going to be talking about, this movement of Jesus as he heads toward the cross, as he proclaims the kingdom of God and he heads toward the cross for you and for me. For all those times that we fail to get our priorities straight. It's not that, now that's not saying that just because Jesus went to the cross, we can now do whatever we want. And we don't have to worry about our priorities. That was our Romans passage, right? Should we keep on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. No, we continue to try to do better. We try to better our lives. We try to do better. We try to follow God's law better. But at the end of the day, when we fail, and we will fail because we are sinful, sinful creatures, we rest assured that our salvation is not dependent on how well we keep our priorities, but it is dependent on how well Christ kept his priorities. That he went to the cross, that he died for you and for me, that he was the perfect sacrifice, that he fulfilled all righteousness, and that in doing that, he has redeemed you. He has redeemed you. Your salvation rests not in yourself, but in Christ Jesus our Lord, the very Son of God. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as we confess our sins in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, Lord, because we have not always had our priorities straight. We have not always done what is good and what is right. We have failed in so many ways. We have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. And we come before you this day, Lord, in need of your mercy. And we ask of your mercy for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins before you in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, have mercy on us for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may actually be seated. We, since having confessed our common faith in the baptism, we will continue with our gifts and our offerings. at this time. If you can find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisles and sign that and get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you.
Grace, we rejoice with Carly and Andy Ambrose, whose daughter Reagan Joel received
received the washing of holy baptism. Please keep Carly and Andy and her sponsors, Bailey Lay and Grant and Chelsea Tracy, in her baptismal grace throughout her life. As we pray daily for families of our congregation, we offer special petitions this morning for the Eisfelder, the Evans, the Fairchild, and the Flexenhart families, that you would keep them in your loving care. Gracious God, be with those who will be receiving the sacrament of altar, that we might receive the true body and blood of our newborn Savior for the forgiveness of our sins and for the strengthening of our faith. Into your hands, Father God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, our newborn Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated as we continue with Holy Communion. Please remember that the departing blessing is reserved for the end, and so afterwards we'll just kind of go with that and then reserve the blessing for the end. Thank you.
Thank you.
please stand for the blessing. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, which is a life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
No one can conquer, he can't show the word. King over.